those who have come to the Lord in salvation and then baptism. It's just an exciting day as we think of our mission theme across the street and around the world. And we've had this opportunity to minister Christ across the street. In the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking on 2 Corinthians 5:20, and we encourage you to display Christ. If you've had opportunity to do so, we have little forms out at the Welcome Center you can fill out and just tell us your story about how you've been able to show Christ to those around you. We've had several of them coming in, and next week we'll wrap up a message series on that, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And our theme here, again, across the street and around the world. We have the privilege of having Wally and Natasha Kulikoff with us here today. And what a blessing to know that as we pray, as we support Wally and Natasha and their ministry, that the ministry of the word is going around the world. And I'm excited. I heard what he had to say in the early service. I'm excited for you to hear that here in the second service. And I'll tell you, what a blessing to know that, if I could put it this way, our missionary dollar is well spent on Wally's ministry. And so, Wally, why don't you come and encourage our hearts, share with us. Let's welcome Wally to our pulpit.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Dale. What a pleasure for me to be with you this morning. My wife is not here, but she went to hear the other missionaries who will be going to Indonesia. My wife's name is Natasha. And my name is Wally. The surname is Kulikoff. We have two children. Our son Mark, when he was here, he was 8 years old. That's how long ago. Now he's a father, or they're expecting the first child. He's a graphic designer, and he got his master's degree in graphic design from California Institute of Arts. He was teaching at the Biola Christian University and fell in love with one of the students. And he calls me one day and he says, "Dad, it was the first time he would tell us about a girl in his life." And he said, "Dad, I'm seeing one of the students that I'm teaching at Biola." And I said, "Well, what do you have to do?" He says, "I have to resign." So I said, "You do that. You resign." And then in May, they resigned. And then in May, he got married. They've been married now for 5 years. And the first child is on the way. They live in Los Angeles. Okay, Los Angeles, L.A., and he works for a company. He's into graphic in motion, and his wife is also a graphic designer, but it's static design, like something like this, you know, designing of whatever they, you know, what designers do. It's a little bit different. He said, "Dad, you speak and you draw pictures with words. We actually draw pictures like designers, you know." So that's what they're doing. My daughter Marsha, she's married. Well, my son's wife's name is Jehoden. They're expecting the first one, and as young people do today, they've decided to call their child. They don't know what it is. They didn't want to know who it would be, but they chose a name that would be the same for a boy or a girl. And he said, "Dad," he said, "it was David's priest." And he stumped me. Well, I didn't know who David's priest was, and he said he was also a prophet. And he was also a judge. And I said, "Son, I don't know." So he sent me the passages of Scripture. And the name is Ira, I-R-A. And if it'll be a girl, it'll be Ira, Ira and Ear. And he said, "Every year I'll have to put some money into my I-R-A." So we're excited for them. Our daughter, Marsha, married to Keith. And they've been married for some time. They have a son, Tyler. He's 7 years old. And they have a wonderful daughter, Grace. She's 5 years old. And so we are grandparents, and we are delighted that this church has been with us for now 29 years. Could you imagine? 29 years. And you've prayed for us. You've supported us. We were radio broadcasters with HCJB in Quito, Ecuador, where the devastation took place. We know every city. We know every place where it was destroyed by the earthquake. And today our heart mourns for the people who've had that great loss in Ecuador. It's a wonderful country, and God allowed us to be there for 10 years. 10 years in Quito, Ecuador. And now we work with a mission called Eurasia. I have some, this is School Without Walls. Take one of these. They're on the counter over there. And then Training to Lead and Equipping to Serve is our annual report. Our annual report will give you testimonies, stories, the countries where we work in, and I am Vice President of Ministries, and this year we have 1,617 students in training. In other words, we were doing missionary work by ourselves, and now I'm involved in training others, walking with them, and doing missionary work together with them. It's not just doing it alone, it's doing it with the nationals. The completion of the Great Commission doesn't belong to America alone. It belongs to every church that the nationals have nationally, globally. Across the street, the commission is here to go. And across the world, across the globe. And so we are across the globe. And some of the things that we do, let me share with the young people, something that's very innovative. You've probably never seen this here in America, but this is an evangelistic tool. This costs us a dollar to print, and this is all designed like this. This is very, very, very good. So professional young people, mechanics, lawyers, doctors, artists, anyone who has an office, we give these free of charge to them. They leave it on the table, and every day two or three are gone. So every day they come to the office or they call the office, we'd like some more of these. 50 Psalms, 50 human emotions. And people would like to identify with the Psalms. Как быть реальные люди, как они обрели надежду? Real people, how they found hope. This is 50 Psalms. For instance, you go across and it talks about what are the Psalms, Psalm 5. Psalm 3, there's one verse. Psalm 5, there's only several verses. And Psalm 9, and Psalm 17, and Psalm 33. And people want, because of orthodoxy, very similar to Catholicism or Islam, people learn their prayers. We as evangelicals do not write them out. Sometimes, in special occasions, we don't memorize our prayers. But if you come from orthodoxy, if you come from the Catholic tradition, if you come from the Islamic tradition, people want to learn their prayers. They want to pray them. And so there's Psalm 41, wonderful prayer, okay? And there's Psalm 56, Psalm 61, Psalm 85, 84, or Psalm 104. And people love to use the Psalm. And then there's Gospel of John illustrated. The Gospel of John illustrated right here, illustrated. And this is one of the most powerful tools that we have developed for evangelism. This doesn't exist here in America. You can't find one. This is for Eurasia. We've developed this and we use this for evangelism and discipleship. And then for the young people, if you're young people, we have a QR code. Do you know what a QR code is? You know how to download one of those. You scan it with your camera and you know where you go? Apologetics. The most difficult questions that young people ask. And the young people go in there, who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Why does pain exist? Okay? Why is suffering exist? And so they're very short questions. They're not like the apologist, Zavi Zachariah, you know, those people. But this is a QR code in the Russian language. It goes to the Russian site. It's in English and it's French and it's also in the Spanish language. And now we have it in the Ukrainian and also in the Moldovan language, the Romanian language. And we are cooperating with the Gideons of Canada. Well, they're called WordShare Canada. WordShare. They're not the Gideons now. They're WordShare Canada. And they allowed us to use their app and to translate into the languages of Eurasia. Okay? So the young people, and now across Russia, for the Olympics, we printed 125,000 of these for the Winter Olympics in Russia. And now 2,000 young people, go on this site to find out who is God, why does suffering exist, and what is God's plan for my life. So pray for this magazine. We have distributed many of these in Ukraine. We have printed 200,000 in Ukraine to distribute amongst the refugees in the war-torn area of that part of the world. And then we also use the Gospels of John and the Gospel of Luke. This is the Gospel of Luke, 20 cents a piece, and we have printed 700,000 for Ukraine alone. Next year, next year, listen to this, Russia will have the soccer championship in 2018. Next year, we are printing 1 million copies of the Gospels of John for Russia. More than anything else, Russia needs God's word. Putin and all the Russian people, so pray for us that God will allow us to raise the funds and have the funds to print 1 million Gospels of John for Russia. And then it'll go across to the soccer championship in 2018. And we engage, who do we engage? We engage students of School Without Walls and partnering churches. And so I could never distribute 1 million alone as myself as one missionary. But the people that we train, 2,000 every year across Eurasia, help us, and the churches help us to distribute these. And today, I'd like to share with you across the street and around the world. And we are part of Around the World. And this is what we look like around the world.
Но мы говорим на другом языке тоже. Мы можем говорить на других языках.
And so, when you go around the world, you can speak another language. And the language that I speak, на языке, на котором я говорю, совсем другой язык. Do you understand any of that? Because it's a different language. It's around the world. And the language that I use today is across the street, okay? And so today we will look across the street and around the world. And it's Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Four verses. Let's read God's Word. And you have it right at the back there. It's the NIV, the New International Version. And that's, I went from the King James to this one. And so if you read the King James, that's fine. That was my original one that I used. Okay, let's listen to the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission. I would like to talk about the completion of the Great Commission. It's 2016, 2016 years after the birth of Christ. And we're still talking about what Jesus commanded us to do. Okay, and so the Great Commission, as it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the ages." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Today I'd like to focus on the very first three verses. And the first three verses, the very first point is I'd like to talk about is the completion of the Great Commission. If we can go to the next slide. Yeah, the completion of the Great Commission. What does that involve? And the next one, obedience. The Word of God tells us the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. What if these 11 disciples didn't go there? What if they said, "No, we're going to stay in Jerusalem. That's where you came. That's where the resurrection took place. Why should we go to Galilee? Why should we go to this mountain?" The completion of the Great Commission is obedience. This church is obedient to the call of Christ. This church has sent out missionaries. This church has sent us out. You've entrusted to us probably one of the most important things that there is in this world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've entrusted that to us so we would relay it to other people. And so obedience is the most important characteristic of an individual of Christ. Obedience is necessary for salvation. A person obediently confesses his sins, kneels before the Lord, his Maker, and says, "My Lord and my God." Obedience is necessary not only for salvation, but also the disciples obeyed. So the next thing that they have there, what is essential, is an encounter with Christ, the evidence of His resurrection. The disciples doubted, not too many of them. At this point, not all the disciples have seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. The evidence of His resurrection has not been profoundly rooted in the inner being. And so right here we have an encounter with Christ.
This is evidence of His resurrection. And so when they came Him, they saw Jesus. And the next thing after you have an encounter with Jesus Christ is they worshiped the risen Lord. Do you know, when I obeyed as a missionary and my wife and myself, there was an evidence within our hearts that what God has entrusted to us, what He has called us to, was very real in our lives. It was hard to explain. It's hard to explain God's calling in your life to other people. And when you ask an individual, where is God calling you to? It's very, very difficult. The first thing in my life was I knew I had to know God and to understand Him. So I went to Bible school. I went to a Bible institute. That's where I met my wife. But God allows us through the very first act of obedience. He allows us an encounter with Him. And then when we encounter and find the evidence of Christ in our lives, you know what we do? We begin to worship Him. Wasn't it wonderful to worship Him today? It was a delight for me to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with you today. It was a delight. When we worship Christ, something happens in our hearts. And when we grumble, and when we're dissatisfied, and when we are unhappy, we must begin to worship Christ. Because worship is that part of life where the disciples, they saw Him, they worshiped Him. And then the next thing, let's look at the next thing, some doubted. Not all the disciples believed. There's only 11 here. There's not only 12. There's not 12, there's 11 disciples. And even John the Baptist, when he was in prison, he gathers his disciples and he said, "You go and tell Jesus, are you the one, or should we ask for someone else? Or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus then tells the disciples of John, he said, "You go and tell him, the lame who couldn't walk are walking. People who couldn't see can see. Leprosy that was incurable in that day. Those who had lepers are healed. And those who could not walk begin to walk. And those who have not heard the good news hear the good news." John the Baptist, when he heard these, he said, "Yes, He is the Messiah. He is the one that I baptized. He is Jesus." What about Peter? Peter, who walked with Him and said, "I would die with you." What about Thomas? Thomas, after the resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "Jesus, if you go to Jerusalem, I want to die with you." Peter denies Him. And about Thomas, there's doubting Thomas, as you all have that. And when they met together, one of the 12, called Didymus, Thomas, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. What happened to Thomas? And so this doubt in the Christian's life is normal. But I want you to know that when you experience the evidence of Jesus Christ within your life, God empowers you and gives you the strength, and you will go. And it only happens through the act of worship. So the next thing we see here, the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, the authority that Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. And when we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, something happens. Something happens in our life. Faith begins to grow. Grace begins to develop in our lives where we can step from grace to grace. And the thing that the next point is all of a sudden when we experience the indwelling and the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, we want to make disciples. We want to tell people. We want to have a Bible study. We want to work with them. And so let's see the next slide. The completion of the Great Commission is too big for anyone to accomplish it alone, and too important not to do it together. That's why we join hands with you. That's why we are honored to be missionaries. And today I'd like to share with you the things that we have accomplished. Let's see the next slide. This is a Jehovah's Witness. Together with the students, we go out into the streets too. We not only teach them, but they watch us how we do things. And so here I am, street evangelism, very complex. I was a radio broadcaster sitting in the room, and I was afraid to go out into the streets. And when I got older, joined Mission Eurasia, have to go out into the streets. And this lady entangled me, and she was trying to tell me that Jehovah was one God. Jehovah was one name. And I realized she was a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm holding the three New Testaments which I gave to people, and I told them, do you know that God has a wonderful plan for your life? And she was just wasting my time, and I said, do you have a Bible? She said, yes, I do. She opened up the Bible. She was trying to convince me that Jehovah was one. There was no Jesus. There is no Holy Spirit. Jehovah. So I stood there and I said, do you have a Bible? She says, yes, I do. I said, let me read to you a passage. And I asked her to open up to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And then when I read the passage to him, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I said, you read it. It's your Bible. It's in your Bible. She read it. She looked at me. She said, I never knew that Jehovah was three in one. And the Jehovah's Witness, she thought it was only Jehovah. And it was in her Bible. That's why I share it with you. I'm going to share with you the other people that around the world, across the street, worship like you do, but around the world. This is how people worship. I was at this service. We sit on the floor and we worship with people. It's not a big group. It's not a big group, okay? There was about 40 people in that group. We sit on the carpet, and the music we have there is one of those little drums. Oh, okay. He's got many drums here, but it's only one section of that drum, okay? Little drum and a little rattler, and that's what they had for that music, worshiping God. Let's see the next slide. The next slide is many people today worship Christ like this around the table. A little bit of food, tea. They don't drink coffee, but tea, either green tea or black tea, one of those things. And you sit around and you drink tea, you study the Word of God, you pray, you sing. And the longer the service, the greater the fellowship. And if you have a long service, say, what wonderful time of fellowship. And you say, how long? Well, 2 hours would be short. 3 hours to 4 hours. When you gather like this, people love to gather for about 4 hours. After the sermon, there's questions and answers and so forth. But this is a service. This is a service in Central Asia and another form of service. This is a Bible study. Bible study, these are people praying after a Bible study. They just kneel like that, not standing up, but just to share with you how people around the world worship God. Okay, and this is what God allowed us. You see the three services that I shared with you? God allowed us through you to establish those house groups. Isn't that wonderful? You just saw people who have never known Him, have come to know Him, bow down before Him, worship Him in their own way, and gather around the table and break bread together. It is because you allowed us to help. You allowed us to do this, and I want to say thank you to you. I want to say thank you that people who have never heard of Him have heard. You know, there are two words that are known globally around the world, and those two words are Coca-Cola. Exactly. Coca-Cola are the two words. You go to any part of the world. You go to the Eskimos, you go to the Chukchi, you go to the Nancy, the Arctic Circle of Russia. And you will hear, when you say Coca-Cola, they know exactly what you want. But globally around the world, there are other two words, Jesus Christ. People don't know. That's why we're here. Across the street and around the world. And I should share with you, Natasha and myself, we were both born in China. My wife and I, you don't know what Chinese people look like, this is it. But anyhow, the next three words that are known globally around the world is made in China. The three words, okay? The two words and the three words. And I always add and tell the people, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the rest was made in China. My wife and I, we were both made in that part of the world in China. Let's go to the next slide here. I want to throw this in because in the Bible we talk about sheep and goats. And in the Bible there will be a separation of sheep and goats today in all of Central Asia. All of Central Asia where I go in the evening before they put them into their own little nest. During the day, sheep and goats are together. In the evening they separate them.
Just wanted you to know that today, 2016, globally around the world, sheep and goats are together, and in the evening there's a time of separation, sheep and goats, just as Jesus talks about separating goats from the sheep. It happens today, okay? Even today, this evening, this will happen in Tajikistan, in Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, that part of the world, Kazakhstan, where sheep and goats, before they go to their resting place, will be like this. Let's go to the next slide and share with you the vision of Mission Eurasia. I'm the Vice President of Ministries. Okay, and so School Without Walls is basically the oversight that I have of 1,600 students, or 2,000 kind of every year, 1,000 graduates, and that's what we oversee, training nationals to lead. I was a missionary for a long time. When you first began to support me, my wife and I did everything alone, by ourselves. And then I did my master's degree at Moody Bible Institute. My thesis was training nationals to be involved in the completion of the Great Commission. And so we train nationals to lead, and then we equip them to serve. The way we equip them is we allow them to have one of the most modern, the most effective, interesting ways to do evangelism and discipleship. And for the young people, a QR code to look at some of the most difficult answers to questions that they ask. And then we provide for them Gospels of John, Gospels of Luke. And we also provide Bibles and New Testaments when small group Bible studies are established. And please pray, because in Russia it is illegal now to do distribution of Christian literature, especially when they go to the QR code and they find out that it is a foreign QR code. It's not Russian-based, though these will be printed in Russia. And when they go to the QR code, it's supported by the West. We have our own church. We have orthodoxy. We don't need the splinter group. We don't need the Protestants. We don't need the heretics that are breaking people away from the Orthodox Church. So pray with us. As God allows us to raise funds, and our dream is to have 1 million Gospels of John, or portion will be Luke, for Russia. The soccer championship in 2018, next year we want to print them. So we begin to work with them, and the soccer championship takes place in Russia in 2018 to use them and to involve the young people and involve the churches. And so the cost of following Jesus Christ, where I work in Central Asia, in today in Ukraine, in Russia, for the evangelicals, this is not Belarus, Moldova, Moldova, Ukraine, yeah, we have some of this in the Donbas region now. But in Eurasia, there's churches being destroyed today. There's beatings because you're a Christian. You can't find a job because you're a Christian. You're expelled from your town or your city, and kidnappings of Christians for ransom. And you cannot find a job if you're an evangelical. And then it goes on. You can be imprisoned, and we have today in Kazakhstan imprisonment, in Uzbekistan. You're persecuted, and you're physically attacked, and the family is disowning you. And this is, missing persons that are evident today of evangelicals, killings of Christians, the death and disappearing, all because of the cross. Did you know that in many places of the world today, that cross is a stumbling block? For Central Asia and the Muslim people, that cross is a sword. And for us, it's an object of devotion. For us, it is a symbol of salvation. And for many parts of the world today in Central Asia, they don't put a cross. And the other thing is a cluster of grapes or a fish. Or what else would be a symbol of Christianity in that part of the world? And so today I want you to pray for Eurasia, because this is what happens in following Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next slide here. And I want to share with you that annually, every year, globally, 18 million people, the unevangelized people groups, grows by 18 million. 18 million people every year
The unevangelized people is growing at that rapid rate. 18 million a year. Some time ago it was 15 and it became 16, 17. And this year it is 18 million people of unreached peoples. And America cannot send enough missionaries to be able to evangelize the world. That's why the completion of the Great Commission not only belongs to Canada and not only belongs to America, but it belongs to the national churches where we work. No matter how small, no matter how large it is, but we want churches today to have missions conferences like you do. Do you know that in Eurasia, there's not too many churches? I could probably count 5 churches in all of Eurasia that has, supports, and sends out missionaries. Do you hear what I'm saying? We go to evangelize them, but we forgot to train them, and we forgot to equip them. And I believe that the position or the purpose of America in these end times is to train the nationals and then to equip them with the gospels, equip them with tools for evangelism and discipleship, and then we can be involved in the completion of the Great Commission. Let's see what happened. We have these. How many can we together train and engage? Judas, okay, this is Judas, not the Iscariot. His name was Simon the Zealot, and Bartholomew converted 100,000 in Persia and Media, and the Medes and the Persians. You probably know them as the Medes and the Persians, okay? So we've got Judas, well, Simon, okay? Simon the Zealot and Bartholomew. I was in Azerbaijan and Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and then Georgia of the Northern Caucasus. I could take the whole session just talking to you about Azerbaijan. Bartholomew was an apostle to Azerbaijan. Iran is south, that's Persia. Iran is Persia. Right north above Iran is Azerbaijan, which are the Medes. The Medes are the Caucasus. The Caucasus of Russia, the southern Caucasus, that's the Medes. And the Persians were Iran. Azerbaijan, Georgia, Armenia were the Medes. Simon the Zealot, or Judas went to Armenia and went to Georgia. And Judas is buried in Sukhumi of Georgia. Armenia accepted Christianity in the year 301. Georgia, 303. And today they have that old apostolic kind of faith that has turned to tradition and ritual and less of faith, less of grace. And so what we have today in the Orthodox, the Catholic, and the Muslim places of the world where people want to know, what must I do to be saved? And we tell people, if it's grace and grace alone, they do not understand, they do not know. And so today, coming from that tradition, even in Azerbaijan, but Azerbaijan, the capital is Baku, and right there in Baku, I have photographs of Bartholomew's grave, where Bartholomew was buried. So Bartholomew and Judas, or Simon the Zealot, they went to that part of the world, the Medes and the Persians, and they spoke their language, because during Pentecost, they said, "You come to us because you speak our language." They used the language. They knew the culture. 100,000 two apostles. Let's go to the next slide. And we'll see that Patrick evangelized the whole of Ireland, baptizing 100,000 people. You probably never heard of him. But he was a national. He lived in that country. Let's go to the next one and see what the nationals can do. And so Columba evangelized the whole country of Scotland. You've probably never heard of him, but he was able to go across the whole country. He spoke the language, he knew the culture, he ate their food, and he could drink their water and not get a stomach problem, and not have any virus. Let's look at the next one. And George Whitefield preached to over 18 million in the United States. In the first service, I asked, "Do you know who George Whitefield is?" And they said, "No, we don't." That was before radio and television. Here's a man who knew American culture, who was here in America, preached to millions of people in America, and America is today because of these men who were trained nationally and who knew the language and also preached the gospel. Let's go to the next one. John Wesley. John Wesley baptized over 140,000 people. John Wesley, you probably know John Wesley from England, okay? A national missionary. Let's go to the next one here. And then Dwight L. Moody. He's so close to home, isn't he? I mean, from Chicago. That's not too far. Well, the statistics tells us that he preached to 100 million people personally and baptized 750,000 people. I believe probably every service he had, he was probably baptizing people. Every service he had, he was a nationally trained individual. They tell me his grammar was poor, but when he spoke, the average individual in America said, this is our gospel. This is our Jesus. This is our message. This is our man who is speaking to us. Do you understand why we want to train nationals? We want to train nationals so they can be involved in this movement. And the next slide, please. And then Robert Morrison worked for 25 years in China with less than a dozen converts. Was this missionary a failure? No. By no means, no. No and no again. I know of a missionary or a missionary that I've read about, and I didn't want to show him. He spent his whole life in Egypt, in the Muslim countries, or in one of the Muslim countries without a single convert, and he died. And it was later that when missionaries went there, they said, oh, we've heard this message. He planted the seed. No, this was not a failure. I want you to know when you have national across the street and across the globe. And this man, Robert Morris, worked for 25 years in China with less than a dozen converts. That was planting seeds. Planting seeds. And seeds produce other seeds. Let's look at the next slide. And then William Carey labored for 7 years before his first convert in India. Do you know that this man, in India, they made a stamp out of him? They have a stamp now of the only foreigner in India of all the years that England ruled there. This is the only man, but he wasn't a failure for 7 years, and he sees his first convert. No, going across the seas, learning a language, and training people to go there, that's planting seeds in that part of the world. Let's see the next one. And then Judson served for 37 years in Myanmar with 8,000 converts. 8,000 converts, okay? And you say, well, Wally, is that truly possible? Well, as I shared with you, in the last, say, 10 years, us training 2,000 people each year. And then all of those people, and this is the cumulative. And so today, we can do so much more together than I could do alone. That's why we cooperate. That's why we call this partnership. And now the next slide. What will happen in America? I don't know when you go across the street, but it is getting much more difficult in America. And so in America, we could probably have churches being destroyed and beatings could happen in America. And we can't find a job because we're evangelicals expelled from our town. And kidnappings could take place because you're a Christian. A wife or a husband could divorce you because you came to know Jesus Christ. And then imprisonments could take place and personal attacks because you're an evangelical. And family can disown us. And then we have missing persons and people could die because of Jesus Christ and because of the gospel. Will it come to America? I don't know. But I do know 18 years ago when we first moved to America, we never thought that the moral code of America would change and society would make decisions for us. And today in Illinois, it is legal to have same-sex marriages, which we never thought would happen. And what is standing beside us as Christians, we look at it and we just don't realize what. The hindrance to us today in my part of the world is the Islamic movement who feels that the evangelicals are treading upon their holy ground. Wherever they have a mosque, That's holy ground for them. And so right there in the corner, Islam will dominate the world. And what is our theme? Across the street and across the world. They have the same kind of theme, but theirs is a little different. There's radical. And so today in many parts of the world, you say, behead those who insult Islam. Islam will dominate the world. And then Europe is the cancer. Islam is the answer. And so there are slogans. In Europe, they have this. In the Scandinavian countries, and one of these marches was in Detroit. Only one. Okay, in America, but it did happen. And it wasn't on the news. And no one told us about it. But the hindrance that we have as Christians is people who somehow dislike us. They see us differently. There is hardly any overlap. What we see of them and what they see of us is two different things, and there is no overlap. And yet in Russia, let's go to the next slide. In Russia today, we have Islamic movements. There are territories where it's Muslims, and Russia is the largest Muslim country in Europe. And that's why we want to have 1 million Gospels of John. That's why we want to have dozens and thousands of these tools where people can come to know who Christ is. And you've probably never heard about it. It says, Otče prosti, Father, forgive them. And this is what has happened. Because we had printed the next slide, the unreached people groups of Russia. And the Muslims have burnt 1.5 tons of Christian literature, that they came to a church, they broke windows, they broke the doors, they found all the literature, and they said, you should leave this town in 2 weeks. Three imams came together with young people. Somehow young people were angry, young people were terribly upset, and they burned our scriptures right in the street. I do have one good news about that. You see that, the Injil, which means the good news? One lady, as she was fanning the flames, she took one out of the fire and she put it under her armpit. She had never seen the book called Good News, Injil. She read it. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. And she shared it with a neighbor about the fact she read the good news. The neighbor somehow told it to the mosque. All the people came to her house. They said, you have the good news which belongs to the Russians. These are Russian God. Jesus is an American God. The Holy Bible is an American book. It's the Russian book. It's not ours. We have holy scriptures. And so they were going to beat her. And then somebody said, no, she should destroy it. And she pled with them. She said, please don't let me destroy this. Let me wrap it up in plastic. Let me wrap it up and put tape around it. Let me throw it into the river. And so all the folks followed her. And they witnessed as in tears she threw this New Testament down into the river. And she saw it float away. 10 miles down the river, there were ladies washing clothes. And the lady sees this package and it's swirling among the rocks. And she goes and takes this package. She opens up and do you know what it says? Injil, the good news. And she goes home and she begins to read it. No missionaries involved, just the word of God. She has an encounter with Jesus Christ. She tries to find other people who believe in Jesus Christ. She couldn't. And then eventually she had to go to the next town to find a small group Bible study. The small group Bible study. She comes to the small group Bible study and she said, I want to thank you, whoever it is, for sharing this Injil. She said, I found it wrapped up in a little package. I was washing clothes 10 miles down. And there was a lady sitting in the same church and she said, I was the one who threw it in the river. I was the one that God allowed me to have wisdom. Instead of burning it, I threw it into the river and you found it. And so they came together worshiping in the same church. That's how God works. God works across the world in places where I haven't been. But I've been there and you allowed us to print the scriptures for them. You allowed us to partner with them. And because of you and your generosity, God is building His church slowly, slowly, but that's what he's doing. Let's go to the next slide. I want to share with you, this is Eurasia, the map of Eurasia. Russia goes all the way to Alaska. It's 11 time zones, practically halfway around the world. And then we had a problem. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide. This is Ukraine. And that little appendix in Ukraine, the Russians wanted for a base. They've never explored oil in the Black Sea. And there's oil reserves because the Americans somehow saw some in the Donbass region. And a quarter of oil that exists in the Arctic Circle of Russia is right there in that Black Sea area. And Putin wants it for Russia. Why should we drill for oil in the Arctic Circle of Russia while it's there? And so 8 million people were involved. A war took place. A war still takes place. And the Donbass region and the Crimea involved 8 million people. Of those 8 million people, 3 million are displaced in Ukraine. 3 million people. And so right now we are printing 50,000 Bibles for the internally displaced people in Ukraine. Of the 3 million, 50,000 families. 50,000 families. I want you to know it's not Australia, New Zealand. It's not the UK. It's not Europe. It's not Latin America. It's not Korea. It's not China or India. It is Canada and America that is supplying these Bibles to the refugees of Ukraine. I want you to know that America is involved, and I want to say thank you. God's grace and mercy will rest upon America as we continue to train, as we continue to equip these people, because you are the greatest, the most generous of the great generosity. And you know, the reason I know this is because we never did humanitarian aid. We weren't involved. And all of a sudden, because of Ukraine and the 3 million displaced people, internally displaced people, all of a sudden we needed wheelchairs for those who couldn't have wheelchairs because of the war. And Joni Erickson and her partnership, she donated 3 containers. She said, all you do is ship them. And then when we wanted to ship food to Ukraine, you know, there's so much excess food in America. I think America could feed the world. You know what our problem is? Sending those containers to Ukraine. It costs us $6,000 to send a container, and it's hard to raise money for a container. It's hard to raise money. Joni Erickson said, how many containers of wheelchairs do you want? And we have 10 containers, 40-foot containers, standing in line to be shipped to Ukraine, but we can't raise funds to ship it. And so I believe God is blessing America because America does help the world. Does help the world. Who were the first responders to the Ecuadorian earthquake? Which was the first country that set up a portable hospital? America. Who were the first people on the scene to help the people of earthquake in Ecuador? America. What does America have to do with that part of the world? It is your generosity. It is your ability to know the Christian, Judeo-Christian foundation that you have. And the generosity of America allows us in Ukraine and Russia and Eurasia and for those people to be trained and also to receive the Word of God. Let's go to the next slide and share with you. This is Ukraine. I believe more than anything else, Russia and Ukraine need God's Word. Do you know that the Orthodox Church will not allow you to read God's Word in the home? Because you don't have an ordained minister. In the Orthodox faith, only the ordained can open up the Word, read it, and then interpret it. That's why they're called heretics. Because they read the Word of God in their homes and they have unordained people, and unordained people begin to question the Word of God and study the Word of God. That's why we call them heretics. And so today, the Ukraine needs God's Word. Let's go to the next slide. This is the destruction, street after street, house after house, house on the on the front line where the war takes place. Let's go to the next one. And so what we do is we have sent already 47 containers to Ukraine of humanitarian aid, from dried food to rice to wheelchairs, 47. We have 10 more containers on the way, and we need to raise funds for the containers to go to that part of the world. This is a church where we feed people once a day. We help the church. We provide the humanitarian aid from clothing. And this is what happens. The gospel is preached. You see those people kneeling down? On a daily basis, people come to know Jesus Christ because of your generosity. This is not UK. This is not Australia. This is America and Canada, where we raise funds and we send. This is your result. This is America. This is America allowing these people to eat food once a day, and then the gospel is preached and they kneel and they worship Jesus Christ. You know why? Because of the compassion of America. And I want you to know again, thank you for allowing us to be this part, a part of the church, and to be a part of around the world. Let's go to the next slide. As you go down, we went to three schools and we gave them New Testaments, a pictorial New Testament, a New Testament for the teenagers and Bibles for the teachers. The teachers received their first Bible. The next slide. Here's the principal of the school. This is the first Bible. I looked at it and I thought, it's impossible. This is a free country. Ukraine, the first Bible, yes. And then all the children received some humanitarian aid, packages of rice, which they can boil, and then a pictorial New Testament. And this is our director from Canada. This is our director from Canada. Okay, there's a soldier right there in front. And I said, what would you like from the Word of God? He said, teach me to pray, because we're 200 meters away from the front line. He said, what are you doing here without a bulletproof vest? I said, I didn't know it, 200 meters away. He said, you could be gone any minute. He said, tell me what you need to tell me. And he said, you get out of here. And so I asked him whether he knew God had a wonderful plan for his life. He said, teach me to pray, because tomorrow I don't know whether I'll be alive. And so the Bible, I take the Bible, I show him this magazine right there, and I tell him that there is 50 prayers. And there's the Gospel of John. And then I open up the Bible like this, right down to the middle, and it's Psalms. And I said, that's what you need to pray, the Psalms. Let's see the next one. And so here's soldiers receiving the Word of God. Why? The generosity of Americans and the Canadians. The next slide. And so we went into the bunkers. These are the soldiers with all their areas. You can't go to the Russian side, because the Orthodox Church will not allow you to give it to the side that it's on the Russian side. But on the Ukrainian side, there's a chaplain with us that saw us and gave us permission. And we prayed with the soldiers. We shared the gospel with them. And we shared the Bible. And we left the Bibles with them. Let's go to the next one. This is war-torn homes. This man, let's go to the next slide. This man lost his wife, his children. He's alone. And we're giving him a package, an eye care package, we call. And I said, why are you here? He said, I want the pain and the wounds to heal. And then he said, I can move on. He said, I buried my wife here right on the lot. He said, there was nowhere to bury. And I buried my children because of the war that took place. Let's see the next one. This man was wounded, and his mother's standing there. She said, please pray. Please pray for our son. And so we're praying for this young man. It was a cold day. And so you go and you walk down the street and you yell out, is there anyone alive? Is anyone living here? And the people walk out. And the next slide, we walk out and we pray with individuals. We give them eye care packages. And it's war-torn. I don't know how to explain it. There's no gas. There's no electricity. There's no water. There's nothing. It's only ruins. And we walked into the house of that lady, and there's nothing in there. And now these people who've received the Word of God, these people who have heard the good news, on a Sunday today, they're meeting like this. You see that worship service? You saw them in the house. This is on the street. Every Sunday now, this is one of our trained leaders. He goes there on a Sunday and he holds a worship service like that. Why? Because America has helped these people. These hopeless people didn't have a Word of God. And this lady, and let's go to the next slide here. If only I had this book when I was young, my life would have been different. If only more people could have God's Word. I believe more than anything else, Ukraine today needs God's Word, and you are allowing us to do that. You are allowing us. And this lady took her head, she said, if only I had known this book when she was young. But it was communism then. It was atheism then. And because of your help, this lady here now knows Jesus Christ. One day you'll see her in heaven and she'll come to you. The American people should say, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to have God's Word. Let's go to the next slide. And I want to share with you that war, doubt, fear, sleepless nights, and hopelessness is a powerful tool in the hands of God to prepare people's hearts for the gospel and a new purpose in their life. I want to share with you, in your bulletin you have let's go to the next slide. I want to share with you what we do. This is packages. In that part of the world, in Russia and Ukraine, instead of the Christmas child, this is what we do with our students of School Without Walls. A local church like yours puts these packages. We print those boxes. Let's see the next slide. The young people are involved. The next slide. Let's go to the next slide. They fill these boxes up with all the goods. This is how we equip the national church in Russia, Ukraine, war-torn Ukraine, Moldova. This is our Christmas child we call the Gifts of Hope. Okay, Gift of Hope. It's not Samaritan's Purse because in Russia they cannot bring them in. And now this is what we do. And the children receive a pictorial New Testament. They receive gifts. And let's go to the next slide. The gifts of hope the children receive is a gift of hope because American people care. And let's go to the next slide. And this will finish. Thank you for gifts of hope to that part of the world. And I want to say thank you to the church for allowing us to help. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for each individual. Thank you for the young people, the old, and the people who have families. Lord, we just praise you for this church, for the vision for across the street and around the world. Father, we stand before you today and we say, use us. Help us. Walk with us, precious Lord. And lead us and help us to hear that still small voice. And Father, as we dismiss, allow us, Father, to be your vessels across the street and across the globe. And thank you for their involvement and partnership with Mission Eurasia. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continuing with heads bowed and eyes closed.